An Osho Talk. The great Zen master, Ta Hui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 30.
Be thoroughgoing. Now that you have taken up this affair, you must steadfastly make yourself thoroughgoing and sit upright in a room with what you've truly experienced and awakened to in the course of your life. It's like crossing a bridge made of a single plank, carrying a 200-pound burden. If your hands and feet slip, you can't even preserve your own life, much less save others. When monks came seeking the path, Mu Chao would say, "An obvious case. I forgive you 30 blows." Wu Ye of Fen Yang told questioners, "No false thinking." Whenever Lu Tzu saw a monk enter the gate, he would immediately turn around and sit facing the wall.
The problem with every awakened soul has always been one. Before awakening, it is the very fact of awakening that is his problem. After awakening, it is again the awakening that comes as a problem, how to express it. To experience something is one thing, and to express it is totally another. It is possible to feel at ease with existence in a deep suchness, but how to say it? It is possible to listen to this beautiful evening, the dance of the rain, and the silent joy of the trees, but how to say it? Words are so poor, and life is so rich. Life is so vast. and verbs are so small. Just feel this very moment and you will be able to see its immensity, its tremendous beauty, its splendor. Its silence, its sound, the heart feels it, the being is showered with flowers. The whole around you is so poetic. It is always poetry. It is never prose. Just if you have eyes and sensitivity, life is always a rejoicing. And the deepest source of life is within you. The whole effort of a seeker is to be awake to the source of being within, which is eternal, immeasurable, immortal. But then the problem arises, a deep urge, an irresistible longing to save it. All the masters, all those who have become awakened, have struggled hard in different ways. Rational, irrational, they have taken even recourse to absurdities just to give you a hint. Tahui is facing the same situation. He has arrived home. Now he wants to invite all those who are still wandering in the darkness. He wants to send the invitation. But where are the words? He is trying his heart. This morning he gave you two words. One was the great affair of suchness. Experiencing life as it is, without bringing your mind in. And the second word was faith. Faith is a natural outcome of the experience of suchness. It certainly is a great affair. Now he will be trying in these last sutras for a few days more, from different angles, to approach this great affair again and again. One never knows what will penetrate to your heart. There is not much to say. But there is much to sow. Every effort has been made. Certainly by different teachers in their uniqueness. He will be describing about other masters too. This evening the sutra is be thoroughgoing. Ordinarily, people are never thoroughgoing. They are always lukewarm, just so-so, wishy-washy. Half-hearted. Always thinking with a divided being. To be or not to be. Such a person who is divided takes one step forward and immediately takes another step backward. He remains almost in the same place where he has always been. Although he is making every effort of moving, I have heard about a small child. It must have been a rainy day like today. And the child was always a latecomer to the school. And he was always ready for some excuse. That day the excuse was absolutely clear. It was raining hard. And the child said to the teacher, "Before you ask, I can answer the question today. At least the excuse is absolutely clear." The muddy road to the school is so slippery that you will not believe, teacher. I will take one step forward and I will slip two steps back. The teacher said, if this is true, then how you manage to reach? The boy said, I started walking towards my home. Then finally I managed to reach the school. Every man is in a search. Better to say, every man is a search, a longing for something that he does not understand exactly what, but something is missing. Something is incomplete. Something is not entire. There is a gap. And that gap allows no one to remain at rest. It asks to be filled. And unless it is filled, you will never feel that you really are. George Gurdjieff wrote a book, Meetings with Remarkable Men. One of his disciples asked him, what is the definition of a remarkable man? He said, a remarkable man is. And an ordinary man is still trying to find where he is. Whether he is or not, a remarkable man is one who has found. Everybody is a search, a hunger, an appetite, a thirst, a longing. Longing to know oneself and longing to know through oneself the whole beautiful universe. Certainly, one of the most important things should be thoroughgoing. Don't run in all the directions. Remain one-pointed, remain crystallized, the life is small, and time is moving fast, and if you go on only thinking, and never taking a solid step towards transformation, towards awareness, towards crystallization, it is not going to happen on its own accord. It cannot happen in a confused mind. Even at the last moment when a person is dying, if you ask him, are you certain? Can you tell us what you wanted to be in your life? Ninety-9.9% people will not be able to answer it. Guthrie's esteem a woman of tremendous genius one of the greatest women in the whole history of men was dying. His very close, intimate friends were sitting in silence, and suddenly she opened her eyes and said, what is the answer? The friends were shocked, because the question has not been asked, how can you say what is the answer? But to a dying woman, there could not be hard. A great silence fell over, but somebody managed to ask her, that you are asking what is the answer, but you have not asked what is the question. Guthrie Skene laughed and said, okay, then tell me what is the question. And that was her last statement. She died. In this small incident is contained the life of millions of people. They don't know what is the question, and they don't know, of course, what is the answer. And still they are running all over the place in all directions. Be thoroughgoing means have a determination that you are going to discover yourself whatsoever the cost. Having life without knowing it is almost equal of not having it. Living and not knowing what it is very humiliating. Loving and not knowing what it is, is unforgivable. When Tahui says be thoroughgoing, he means put every iota of your energy, stake everything on a single arrow, and then perhaps you may be able to come home. You may be able to discover that which is missing. In fact, the reality is that the moment you are absolutely thoroughgoing, one-pointed, single-minded, with an undivided heart, this very thoroughgoingness is the arrival. You don't have to go anywhere. In this totality, in this intensity, the flower blossoms. Now that you have taken up this affair, I love Taohui's continuous use of the word this affair. Now that you have taken up this affair, you must steadfastly make yourself thoroughgoing and sit upright in a room with what you have truly experienced and awakened to in the course of your life. It is like crossing a bridge made of a single plank, carrying a 200-pound burden. If your hands and feet slip, you can't even preserve your own life, much less save others. Here each moment is risky, because each moment can turn into death. You are all crossing the plank with a mountainous burden on you. And just a small slip is enough and you are gone. You have to be alert . So alert that no other energy is left in you. Everything has become just a flame of awareness. It happened once. A great warrior came home and was shocked to see that his servant was with his wife in his bedroom. He was a warrior, and warriors have their own ways. He said to the servant that the only punishment can be that I should behead you right now, but being a warrior, I cannot do that. You come out, take this sword, and you have a chance. You will have to fight with me. The poor servant said, it is better you cut my head, because you are a great warrior, and I don't know even how to hold the sword. Why you are making a mockery? But the warrior was persistent. He said, if you want few days to learn, I can send you to the best teacher, learn, but you will have to fight. Whoever wins will have the wife. The servant knew his master, that he will not change his mind. He went to the teacher. The teacher said, don't be worried. And don't try to learn, because your master is also my student, and I know him that as far as swordsmanship is concerned, even I cannot defeat him. He has far deeply entered into the art. You forget about learning. Learning is dangerous. If you know a little bit, you are finished. The man said, then what do you suggest? He said, I suggest one thing. You just take this sword. This is the way how it is to be held. Go immediately and challenge your master that come out. Certainly your life is at risk. But now there is no way out. So do whatsoever you want to do. The sword is in your hands. Hit your master any way it comes to your mind. This way you will be more thoroughgoing, because your mind will not be divided in thinking what is right, what is wrong, what step I should take, and what step I should avoid. It is better to be ignorant in this situation. One thing only remember, your life is at risk. So be thoroughgoing. And because you don't know anything, there is nothing wrong. Everything is right. And I am coming with you to judge. The warrior was amazed that so quickly he has come back It takes years of learning, and his master was also with him. And the master said, I have come to see a strange phenomenon, the fight of a great warrior with a man who does not know even how to handle the sword. But I want you to be aware, be alert, because he is going to be more thoroughgoing than you are, because you will depend more on your training, on your knowledge. You will not be afraid of your life. You will feel a kind of safety and security which he has not. He is absolutely insecure, hence be alert and thoroughgoing, because he is going to be more thoroughgoing than you are. You will depend on your knowledge. And as they started, the master became afraid. The servant was almost hitting him madly, not knowing what to do. And he was moving backwards just to save himself, because he had never known any warrior to do such things as the servant was doing. Every warrior has a certain discipline, but this ignorant man has nothing. And finally, he came to the fencing wall. The servant has pushed him to the fencing wall. And the master said, wait, I don't want to lose my life for an unfaithful wife. You can take her. But I am amazed that great warriors have not been able to defeat me, and you made me so afraid, because you were hitting this way and that way. I could not believe that this man has gone crazy, mad, or what. It was a question of life and death for the servant. It was not a question of life and death for the warrior. And that made the difference. There are only two types of people in the world: those who understand that every moment life is at risk, hence do something, and those who are absolutely unaware that death can strike any moment and take away all their future, all their dreams, all their imaginations, all that they were thinking they are going to do tomorrow. Death does only one thing, it takes away your tomorrow. A man who has entered in this affair of search leaves tomorrow himself. He does not wait for death to take it away. He has no tomorrow. He has only this moment. And he has to concentrate himself into this moment without holding anything back. In this crystallization, is the great happening of enlightenment. Now that you have taken up this affair, certainly you are here. So these words are actually addressed to you. They are not addressed to somebody fictitious. Being with me means you have taken up this great affair, that you are no more just an ordinary human being, but a seeker. That you are ready to risk everything to find the secret of existence. You must steadfastly make yourself thoroughgoing. Do everything as if there is no time left. As if this is the last moment to do it. So do it fully, completely, without postponing, without saying there is no hurry. Something can be done today, something can be done tomorrow. Don't live in installments. That is the meaning of being thoroughgoing. It means don't be American. Don't live in installments. Live totally now, as if tomorrow does not exist. In fact, it does not exist. It is only our idea. It is our laziness. It is our reluctance to put ourselves totally at the risk now. We say, what is the hurry? We find 1001 excuses for postponing, particularly the great affair. Gautam Buddha was dying. And a man came running, and Buddha has passed from his village 30 times in his 42 years of wandering. His village was kind of a crossroads. And he has passed by the side of his house, and he has remained outside the village 30 times, and he has always postponed. He wanted to see this man. He has heard so much about him. But always small excuses. A customer has come and he is tending his shop, and his wife is sick, and he has to go to the physician. Or something else. But suddenly today he heard that Gautam Buddha has asked his disciples outside his town that now he is going to leave his body. If you have anything to ask, you can ask. It should not be said by the coming generations that Buddha did not answer a question which was in the mind of one of his disciples. For 42 years I have been answering you, but perhaps there may be some questions still. Before I leave the body, I want to answer them all. The disciples said with tears in their eyes that you have answered more than we had ever asked or ever thought to ask. We don't want to disturb you. You can silently leave your body. This is no moment for any question or answer. This is no moment for any communication with language. We simply want to be silent. Watching your disappearance into the universal consciousness. 3 times he asked, that was his routine. And many times he was asked that, why you asked 3 times? He said, even 3 times are not enough. People are so deaf. He still said, I still ask if anybody has any question. Don't hide. Don't be shy. But again and again they said they don't have any questions. So he said, then I should enter into the 4 stages. The 1st stage of meditation, in which one leaves the body. The 2nd stage, in which one leaves the mind. The 3rd stage, in which one leaves the heart. And the 4th stage, in which one leaves the very self, and the dewdrop disappears into the ocean. So he closed his eyes, and just then this man from the town came running that, "I have few questions." People said, "Don't be stupid. 30 times Buddha has been near your town. Where you have been?" He said, "Sometimes there was a customer, sometimes there was a guest, sometimes my wife was sick, sometimes I was engaged in fighting with someone. Just trivia, I know. It was stupid of me to postpone. But hearing that Buddha is leaving the body, now I cannot postpone. But Ananda, Buddha's chief disciple, said, "Now be silent. He has already moved in. He has closed his eyes, and it is absolutely ungentlemanly. Now wait for some other life. When you find some other Buddha, then you can ask your questions. And your questions are not very important either. Because if you can postpone them for 30 years, they cannot mean much. They are not a priority in your life. When the meaning, the significance of life becomes a priority, everything else becomes secondary. You have entered the great affair. But Buddha has just left his mind. He came back. He opened his eyes and said, "Ananda, I would not like it to be on record that I was still alive and somebody has come to ask and I did not answer. Let the man come. I have just gone beyond the mind. It is not much trouble for me to come, because that has been my whole life. The moment I talk to you, I have to come to the mind. The moment I am not talking to you, I move away from it. So there is no problem. Don't take it seriously." The man had many questions in his mind, but the situation was such that he forgot all. He simply said, I used to think that I have many questions, but looking at you, I only want to ask you one question. But what should I ask you? There is not much time. You had just entered the boat, you have come out. I cannot waste your time into unnecessary things. Just tell me exactly what is the question. Gautama Buddha said, it was worth to come back. You are a man who may not have been very alert in life, who may not have realized your potential, but in this moment you are showing your pure intelligence. The question is only one. You are the question. And you are the answer. You as unaware is the question. You as awareness is the answer. And it is said that that man became enlightened . The situation was such, Buddha came back . There was 10,000 of monks with tears in their eyes and silence all over. And he has condensed his whole philosophy. You as ignorant is the question, and you as alert awareness, you as consciousness is the answer. And how one becomes conscious? Just by being thoroughgoing. Just by being total in every act. Be as alert, says Tahui, as if you are crossing a bridge made of a single plank, carrying a 200-pound burden. If your hands and feet slip, you can't even preserve your own life, much less save others. In such a situation, you will become absolutely aware. You will be simply awareness. Nothing else, just a purity, a luminosity, and that is the enlightenment, the great affair. Your seeking the path is really nothing but seeking awareness. Tahui reminds Mu Chao once said, an obvious case, I forgive you 30 blows. Now Zen has special methods of its own, not developed by any other tradition. Mu Chao is one of the great masters. Who used to hit with his stick his disciples when they will bring the answer to a koan meditation. They were asked to meditate on a koan. A koan is a puzzle which has no answer. And they were told that find out the answer, and when you have found it, come. Naturally, every answer was going to be wrong. The sound of one hand clapping. Now what answer is going to be right? So Mu Chao did not wait for their answers. He will simply hit them and tell them, go back, your answer was wrong. Meditate again, find out the right answer. He was known as a crazy master. At least you should have the generosity to listen to the poor disciple's answer. He has been meditating day in, day out, and he has found some answer. He has heard the wind passing through the pine trees and the music. He had heard the sound of running water, and he thought, perhaps this is it. And he had run immediately to the master to tell that he has heard the sound of one hand clapping. With great expectation, but the master was really a hard taskmaster. He will hit him even before he has uttered a single word. Many other masters said to Chao that this is too much. You can hit, but at least listen to his answer. But Chao used to say that even to listen to their answer is to give an indication that there can be a right answer. I want it to make it absolutely clear to them that all answers are wrong. And by hitting again and again, one day it dawns to the disciple that perhaps no answer is right. Perhaps there is no answer at all. And then he will not come. Because now what is the point? Then he will sit under the tree in the garden of the Master, enjoying. And when the Master will see a certain disciple has not come for many days, he has to report every day what is his finding of 24 hours. Then Chao will go to look for the disciple and he will find him giggling under a tree. And he will sit with the disciple and giggle. And he will say, "So you have found it." This is the man who said in one case, when he gave to a disciple the famous koan of one hand clapping, "What is the sound of one hand clapping?" And the disciple, rather than going out, took the stick of the Master and hit him hard. This was the situation in which Chao said to him, "An obvious case. I forgive you 30 blows." Otherwise, you would have got 30 blows if you had gone and meditated. You did the right thing. I was asking you something absurd. But what is the point of asking the absurd? The point is that mind comes to a stop only when it faces the absurd. If it can solve the problem, it goes on functioning. When it cannot solve this way and that way, it tries hard all the doors and everything is closed. And the realization arises that there is no way out. Mind stops. In that very stopping is the answer. In that very stopping is the silence, the transcendence, the peace that passeth understanding. Wu Yi, another master told questioners, no false thinking. Just that was his only teaching. He was asked by the emperor to come to the court to deliver a sermon on some auspicious occasion. He came with his thousands of disciples. There was great silence. All the warriors and the samurais and the courtiers and the queens and the princes and all rich people of the capital were invited. And Wu Yi stepped up the platform, looked all around and said, no false thinking. The sermon is over. He stepped down. The emperor looked. The whole court was shocked that what kind of sermon is this? But his disciples had a great laugh. Because they knew this was going to be the sermon. This is the only sermon they have been hearing every day. Every day, without fail, with great seriousness he comes and says, no false thinking. He was a simple man. In fact, he has condensed the whole philosophy of Buddha into a simple statement, no false thinking. And if you start looking into the matter, all thinking is false. No false thinking means no thinking. No false thinking means falling into a deep silence. Becoming a no mind. But his disciples slowly has understood because they were meditating. But every day the sermon was there. And with great seriousness he used to come. And even his old disciples sometimes were expecting, perhaps today he is going to say something else. But in his whole life, as far as I know, he was the only consistent man. He never said anything else. Another master Tahui mentions is Lutasu. Whenever Lutasu saw a monk enter the gate, he would immediately turn around and sit facing the wall. strange behavior. Somebody comes to you, and the moment he enters into the door, you immediately turn around and start looking at the wall. But Lutasu had many enlightened disciples. That was his teaching. Without saying a word, he was saying, just sit and look at the wall. Looking at the wall, how long you can go on thinking? You will get bored. The same wall. You may paint it many times in your imagination, but you know it is all imagination. Thoughts will come and float like clouds in the sky. But you know that the sky is always empty. The clouds don't leave any footsteps, and slowly, slowly the wall became just a screen with no pictures on it, no thoughts on it. Lutasu's method reminds me of Bodhidharma. He must have learned at least the idea of facing the wall from Bodhidharma, his ancient master, who for 9 years continuously, because he did not even bother first to face towards you and then to turn towards the wall, he used to sit only facing the wall for 9 years continuously. And he has made it known that he will turn only when somebody who is total in his search comes. He is here not for ordinary disciples, but only for extraordinary seekers, total. And one day, a man came, and without saying anything, he cut his left hand with his sword and threw the left hand into Bodhidharma's left. And said, this is only the beginning. Either you turn or I will cut my head. Bodhidharma turned immediately. He said, so you have come. No need to cut the head. You have given enough proof of your being. Really a seeker who is ready to risk. This was the man who was chosen by Bodhidharma finally as his successor. he has the guts, he has the right to be a successor. When asked why he has been looking at the wall for 9 years, he said, looking at people hurts, because they are Buddhas and they don't know it. They are Buddhas and they are miserable. Looking at them makes one feel so sad and sorry for them. And there is no way that you can help them. Watching to the wall is good, because the wall is not a potential Buddha. You don't have to be concerned about the wall. And anyway, if somebody who can understand me will be able to understand even while I am facing the wall, he can at least sit by my side and start facing the wall. And actually many disciples did that. The master is showing the way. What more do you want? Just sit by the side and watch. Watching the wall is slowly, slowly. Thoughts disappear. Thinking stops. Mind evaporates, and what is left is your authentic reality. Without finding this authentic reality, you will never feel entire and whole. You will never be able to have the feeling that you are part of a great, magnificent, mysterious universe. And not only that you are a part, you are also the whole. Just you have to disappear into the whole. Then you are in the trees and you are in the rains and you are in the clouds and you are in the sky and you are all over. Just to conceive the idea that I am one with existence, is so relaxing. Is so liberating. That even if you want to become miserable, you cannot. I have tried and I have failed. Sitting alone in my room, I try many times to be miserable. Because people go on asking me, they are miserable. I also want to taste what this misery is. But to be frank with you, being continuously a failure, I have tried to be angry, I have tried all kinds of things. But if you have realized your oneness with existence, there is no one to be angry with. There is no one to fight with. There is no one to be jealous with. This state is certainly the great affair. Listen to Tahui's invitation. Become part of the great affair. This pilgrimage from here to here just be thoroughgoing. Half-heartedness will not do. And then even in a single moment, one can become enlightened. Because one is already enlightened, just you have to gather yourself. You have fallen apart. Your hand is lying there. Your leg is lying there, your head, somebody is playing football with. You have just to put yourself together. And once you are together, there is nothing more to achieve. But you yourself go on splitting yourself, dividing yourself. I have heard a thief was brought into the court. And he was a famous thief. And the magistrate said that you are so experienced a man. What was the reason that you entered into the house, remained there whole night and could not steal anything and on the contrary got caught? He said, it is a strange story. First, I want to ask you one thing, that if you want me to send to the gallows, you can, but don't give me one sentence, that is, having two wives. The magistrate said, but there is no punishment like that, having two wives. He said, that's very good. That's what happened. I entered into this house. This man has two wives. One wife lives on the ground floor and another wife lives on the first floor. And they both drag this man on the staircase. And the drama was so great that I forgot completely for what I have come. And it was so pitiable that somehow one woman will pull him up stairs, and as he was reaching, the other woman will come and start dragging him downward. This went on the whole night. I could not escape because I was inside the house and all the three people were awake, and I could not steal because the scene was so hilarious. But if you look at yourself, do you know how many wives you have? How many husbands you have? In how many places you have left your parts? How many desires? How many ambitions? You have cut yourself into pieces. You have behaved with yourself like a butcher. All the teaching of the awakened people is simply one. Be integrated. Come together. Find out all your parts and get crystallized. Become one. In this oneness, is your realization. Is the end of the world of darkness and the beginning of the world of light, truth, blissfulness, and much more that has no words to be expressed.